Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It tells a very important story. If you want to be strong in Christ, say amen. That doesn't happen by accident. You need to understand that listening is not learning. I need to ask you a very familiar question right now. Who has their Bible? Please hold it up. You'll understand why I asked that for the first time. Good. That's a healthy church. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "And an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to the desert Gaza.'" If you go with me, August or April the 1st through the 10th to Israel, I'll show you this place. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, you got to understand, there was no Bible when the Bible was being written. I'll explain that this fall. However, notice here that there is a holy writing that was revered in the early church. Isaiah was one of them. Reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. Notice how he was trying to read and study the Bible out loud. "The Spirit," capital S, pneuma, "told Philip, 'Go and join the chariot.' Then Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the eunuch said, 'How can I understand it unless someone guides me?'" Unless someone guides me. So in verse 30, he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Verse 31, he says, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" Before we ever even get started, while you're turning to John chapter 16, verse 13, you have to understand that if you're going to be a strong Christian, there is absolutely, positively no way to be a strong believer and not read the Bible daily. Read it daily. Well, why should I read it daily? I'm going to answer that question this morning. You have to understand that the Bible is food for a Christian. If you eat, you're strong. If you don't eat, you're weak. Now, you may be saved, and if someone knocks you in the head, you'll go to heaven. That is not the same thing as living in victory upon the earth. It takes the scriptures to do that. So what the Bible sets up in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 31, is that it takes a teacher to understand the Word of God. That is one reason why the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, even so much more when you see the time appearing, the coming of Christ," Hebrews chapter 10. Now, John chapter 16, verse 13 says something, and I need to correct something. It's not that your Bible is wrong, because your Bible is inerrant. Somebody say amen. But I'm going to give you the actual Greek, because the English does not have the ability to say this scripture in the way that it should be said to give you the truth that it is in the Bible. It says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, you got to show up, because faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You got to have a teacher to teach you the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is one of those teachers who teaches us the Word of God. Now, this verse actually should read, and actually does read in the original Greek manuscripts, called the Vulgate Bible, and I'll explain that in the fall, but every Bible you've got came out of the Vulgate Latin Bible. Just trust me, Google it. The Bible literally says here, the Holy Spirit will guide you in, that actual Vulgate Bible says in, not into. You can use either or, but the English cannot portray the truth here. It says it'll lead you in all of the truth. How many believe the Bible is the truth? Say amen. So when it comes to studying the Word of God, why should we study the Word of God? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Go there quickly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the life of God is in His Word, and the Word is quick and living. If the life of God is in His Word, and His Word is the Bible, and that it quickens and causes you to live, then you have to understand it must be really essential in the kingdom of God for people who call themselves the people of God to read the Bible so they can understand God's will. How many of you like to know what God's will? You're never going to understand God's will without reading His Word. How many of you have ever been convicted of something reading the Bible? Can I see your hands? That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 4. It says it's quick, it's powerful, and can divide the soul and the asunder, and even says that it can read the intentions of your heart down to the bone, the marrow in your bone. How many of you have ever read the Bible and the pages just jumped up at you? Let me see your hands. How many of you ever read the Bible and nothing jumped up at you? Let me see your hand. That's most of the time. But you got to realize you got to put it in you when you don't need it. The Bible says it is a word of God and it can divide, it can cut you, it can convict you, it can direct you, it can cut sin out of your life. How many of you like to have sin cut out of your life? Well, that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Everybody go quickly to James chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible is not only the life of God. If you want to have life in Christ, if you want to have life in God, you want to have life and have it more abundantly, Hebrews 4 says you can't do that unless you put the Word in you. Not into you, but in you, and that the Holy Spirit begins to work. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 23 says you are a spirit, you are a soul, and you are a body. The spirit is what comes alive when Christ comes in you. Your soul is where your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions reside. Your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions, your soul works with your fallen mind, Romans chapter 12, and begins to reawaken your conscience. So the Word of God comes into your mind. How do you overcome the world? Romans 12. Through the metamorphosis of the Word of God. If you want to overcome the world, you can. If you want to overcome eating too much, you can. If you want to overcome crack, you can. If you want to overcome in business, you can. If you want to overcome in success and what's holding you back, you can. All you have to do is put the Word of God in you and it will not return void unto you. It is the power unto God into salvation. It is the Word of the living God, and when you're connected to the Word, and the Word is connected to you, John 15, 1 through 17, you can ask whatsoever things you will, and it shall be done unto you. The Word of God is powerful. It is a sword. It is life. You cannot have a Christian life and not have a life full of reading the Scriptures. It is food to you. It is food to you. It is also, according to James, a mirror. It'll show you your blemishes. It'll show you who you really are. It'll give you an identity of the purpose for your life. It's a mirror. You look into it, you can see yourself. James just said, be careful that you don't turn away from what you see. Everybody go to Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The Word of God is a seed. You put the seed in you, you grow. You put the seed in you, you plant it, you water it, you study it, you pray over it, you speak it out. When you put the Word of God in you, it's a seed. That's why people who take notes are good stewards of the seed that God is planting right now. Some of you think that listening is learning. Listening is not learning. Obedience is proof that you've learned something. And so the Word of God is a seed and you got to put it in you. Also look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It says the Bible is the life-giving word. That if you want life and you want it more abundantly and you want joy and you want peace and you want victory and you want dominion and you want God to hear you when you pray and answer you in your prayers, the way into which you get that kind of success in Christianity is through establishing the Word of God in you by reading it daily. Somebody say amen. Now, the secret to your future lies in your daily routine. The secret to your future lies in your daily routine. I get up in the morning. I try to be here around 7, 7:30. I eat breakfast. I read a book that I'm reading. I come here. I sit in a chair and I read the Word of God. I have a routine. I read it at night. I'll pull out my YouVersion on my iPhone when I'm waiting on someone in a hospital, or I am waiting at a stop sign forever, or if I get on Highway 41 going to Providence where people drive 3 miles an hour and drive me nuts, I pull it out and I just start meditating on the Word. Rotating it in your mind is the Greek word for meditation. And I've learned if I put the Word of God in me when I don't need it, buddy, He'll bring it out of me when I do. The problem is too many people want to put the Word of God in them when they pull the fire alarm. And the truth is, when trouble comes your way, when adversity comes your way, if there's no word in you, pardon the Greek and pardon the Hebrew, you're about to get your butt kicked. But if you'll put it in you when you don't need it, God will bring it out of you when you do. So when you put the Word of God in you, you get strength that you didn't previously have. You get knowledge and insight that your enemy does not have. When you read the Word of God, listen, this is not the Reader's Digest. This is not the Britannica Encyclopedia. This is not Cosmopolitan. This is not GQ. This is the Word of the living God. God spoke this Word. This is His breath. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and He became Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus said, "From the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain." You have to understand that Jesus is the Word of God. Now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I right now, according to the Bible. But at the same time, this book is your way to victory. And you will not get victory because you cry crocodile tears and get a fire insurance policy. But if you ever stop listening and you start obeying the Word of God, if you stop just bringing the Word of God and start studying the Word of God, if you ever begin to put this Word in you and hide it in your heart, you'll be amazed at the sin that'll drop off of your life. Hey, it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the seat of the scornful, or sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on this law he shall meditate both day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, and in its season it shall produce its fruit. Study and show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and became Emmanuel, God with us." You are holding God in your lap. You're holding the very Word of God in your lap. You don't believe me? I'll see you August the 5th. You're holding the words of Jesus. You're holding Jesus's words, God's Word, in your lap. The Bible is a book about God, but the Bible is a revelation about God. Listen, I got news for all you homeboys. You didn't find God. God found you. He was spying on you when you didn't even know He was looking. He was standing in front of you when you were walking away from a car wreck while you were doped up on something, but you weren't there by yourself. You did not find God. God found you. Deuteronomy chapter 29-29 says the Father is the source of the revelation. God the Father decided to reveal Himself to us. And how did He try to reveal Himself? Does He speak through visions? Yes. Does He speak through dreams at times? But let me tell you how God speaks 99.9% of the time. God speaks to you through His Word. And then Paul said, if an angel or anyone that even looks like me comes and says something contrary to this word, mark them off as a false prophet. Do you understand that the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away? Do you understand that it says you can have what you say if you believe in faith? He that abideth in me and I in him, and he abides in my words, can bear much fruit, but apart from you, you can do nothing. I'm talking about something that will energize your family. I'm talking about something that will take sin out of your children's life. I'm talking about learning how to read the Bible every single day and devour the Word of God because it is food in your life. That's good preaching for a white boy. The Bible's God's revelation to us. God the Father said, I'm going to reveal myself. The whole Bible is about the Son, so the Son is the central to the whole Bible. You say, Jesus is just in the New Testament. No, He's not. Jesus starts in the book of Genesis. Why do you think He sacrificed a lamb and then put clothes on Adam and Eve? Why do you say they think that they say He came from the lineage of David? Jesus is throughout the whole Old Testament. Why do you think that there's two pieces of broken bread in a Jewish home on Friday as Shabbat Shalom? Jesus is throughout the whole Old Testament. Who do you think Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 53 where he prophesied crucifixion 850 years before the Romans invented it? No, Jesus is throughout, but then what's the role of the Holy Spirit? According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Holy Spirit is the divine author of the Scriptures. So I want to encourage you to find a place every day where you're divinely alert, where you're uninterrupted, where you can focus on the Scripture and spend a little time every day. Well, Pastor Michael, I read 3 chapters last week, but that's all I got to do. Let me tell you something. You're on your way to failure. Say, excuse me? Do you realize that it is better for you? Now, let's say we're at Moonlight and it's buffet and they got that macaroni and cheese. And I know I just made you hungry. I'm sorry. But say you go to Moonlight and all you eat is the macaroni and cheese. And you eat like a big, huge thing of macaroni and cheese. How many of you know that ain't the best thing for you? Listen, you got to learn how to eat the Scripture healthy. In healthy ways. It is better for you to read one chapter a day than it is to read 4 chapters in 1 week. Because the word is a seed. It's not about consumption of large amounts of food. It's about a seed that can make a huge tree if it's taken care of. Case in point, I don't know if you watched the Moonies in this A&E show. They got these crazy, the Moonies are, they're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, let me tell you. And it's a cult. And you see, you can't obey what you don't. But let me tell you why I ask you to raise your Bible every week. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But listening is not learning. So every time I ask you to raise your Bible, I'm asking you a baby question. Now, if you still haven't mastered that, it's okay. You're a baby in Christ. But you can't obey what you don't know, but if you think you know something and you obey it and it's wrong, and this book is written by God, then what's the repercussions for obeying something that isn't true? Depends on what you're obeying that isn't true. If you believe that sex before marriage isn't wrong, it's because you love them. Well, there are repercussions for that, but it's not the repercussion of believing that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Because to that's the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And there is no way to heaven. And Sun Myung Moon believes that he is the reincarnation of another Christ. And you have to be careful because David Koresh, Charles Manson, Sun Myung Moon, and now his son Sean are all walking around and saying that I am Christ. And what did Matthew say? He said in the last days that there will be many who come and say I am Christ. We're living in the last days, folks. That's why it's more important to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy than ever before. Because if you're out here by yourself on the golf course every week and you just get God when he's convenient, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get eaten by wolves. And there's not going to be any other believers to beat a wolf off you. What's a wolf? Well, a wolf can be a bad doctrine. Like Sun Myung Moon says, I am reincarnation of Christ. I'm Christ, and Christ failed, and that's the reason he was crucified. But he originally came to earth so he could have a family and replenish the earth with righteousness. Well, if you don't know your Bible, that may sound like a good idea until you realize that if Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, there is no forgiveness of sin because blood is tainted. We're all damned. He had to come through sinless ways. There's the doctrine of hermetology, the study of sin. There's the doctrine of pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. There's the doctrine of ecclesiology, the study of the church. There's the doctrine of eschatology. That's the study of the last things. And for all my Baptist people, that's not tongues. Now, I want you to listen to me. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let me show you something real quick, okay? The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what does that mean? Number one, underline the word inspiration. I'm going to go into depth in this in the fall, but go look at the word inspiration. That is not in the original Greek. Well, what word is in the original Greek if not inspiration? Well, the only English word we have for this meaning is inspiration. But that's not what the Bible says. The Greek says spiration. So it has nothing to do with in man and out with God. It is spiration where God breathed out without the help of man his word. Now, if God breathed out something, I think it might be pretty stinking important, since the first act that God had with man in the book of Genesis is when he created him and he knelt down and he breathed the breath of life, which is ruach in the Hebrew, which is the word for the Spirit of God. He breathed the Spirit of God in you. Now you have to realize, if he breathed the Spirit of God in you, and how do you know it's spirit and not psyche in the Greek, which is soul? I'll tell you how. Dogs have psyche, humans have zoe. Zoe is the word for life that only God can give you. Only God can give you this kind of life. So if his breath gives you the only kind of life you can have, that gives you life and life more abundantly, and that you wouldn't even be alive if it weren't for the breath of God. If I saw a scripture in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and it said that all scripture is spiration, where God breathed out the word of God, I'd be eating me some word. You eat the word of God, you get strong. You don't eat the word of God, you get weak. Salvation or no salvation. Now, as I close, I want you to hear me. Get a pencil. Get a piece of paper. This is a seed. Let me tell you the benefits of it. Number one, 1 John 2:14. The Bible is the source of strength for your Christian life. It says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. You cannot be a strong Christian, according to John, and not be in the Word. What does it mean to be in the Word? It means you read it. It means you try to obey it. It means you take principles out of the Word and you build doctrines, like the principle that says sin will separate you from God. And then you build a doctrine of hermeneutology, the study of sin, how sin separates us from God. So the Bible gives you strength. Number two, 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me ask you people a question. How many of you have ever been told by the devil you weren't saved? Let me see your heads. All right? He never came to you when you weren't saved and said, you're not saved. Am I the only one? You say, Michael, all the degrees in theology you got, and as long as you've been serving God, you can say this. Absolutely, I can say this. Anybody in here ever wake up and not feel saved? Do you realize that when you read the Word of God, you get an assurance that you're saved? And a lot of you, the devil comes into your life because you're not in the Word, you're not reading it daily, you're not planting the Word of God in your life, you're not cutting out the things that need to be cut out through the Word of God, you're not planting the seed, you're not using it as a mirror, and the devil comes in and says, you're not saved. You say, I guess I'm not. But when you read the Word of God, Satan can't come and tell you that, because the Word of God is what gives you assurance that you're saved. So when you read the Bible, you gain an assurance that you're saved. When you read the scriptures, you gain an assurance that you're saved. I am sure that I'm saved. I don't go by feelings. I didn't feel saved this morning when I got in the shower, but right now I feel real saved. I want you to know I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I am saved, sanctified, and I love God with all of my heart. I am in love with the Word of the living God, and I'm not ashamed of it. But I didn't feel like that this morning. Hey! Makes me want to do somersaults with a water gun through hell right now. It gives me a personal assurance that I'm saved, 1 John 5:13. Number three, it gives me a confidence in my relationship with God. 1 John 5:14 says this is the confidence that we have in him. When I read this word, I get confident that I know him. When I don't read it, I don't have any assurance that I know him. But the more I read it, the more confidence I get in him. What does confidence mean? It means the more faith I got in him. You want to know why? Because there's been a whole lot of things in my life that would give me good reason to stop serving God. But somehow I made it through it. I didn't make it through it because of willpower. I didn't make it through it because of intellect. I didn't make it through it because of emotions. I made it through it because the word of God was hid in my heart so that I might not sin against him. And at the end of the day, if I tried to backslide tomorrow morning, I couldn't, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whoever wrote this book was God. He was God on the platform. He's God back at the door, like the old song says. He's God that's living. He's the Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah Nisi, the Jehovah Shalom. He is my God. He is the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star. He is what John the Revelator said. His feet were like brass, his eyes were like fire, and his hair was white as wool, and he's coming back on a horse, and on his thigh was written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know in whom I serve. But how do I know? Because it is in me. My God in heaven. Somebody say amen. Number four. Bible study is important key because it's effective to your prayer life. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me, that means make your home, and my words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you desire and it shall be done unto you. I get people all the time come and say, Pastor Michael, God didn't answer my prayers. He must not love me. There must not be a God. Let me tell you something. That's the most foolish thing you could ever say in your life. Do you realize if you cleaned your act up by reading the Word of God, because you cannot clean your act up on your own. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But if you ever clean your act up by reading the Word of God, how does a young man cleanse his way? Through the washing of the Word of God. If you ever get the Word of God in you, and it's a seed, and you respect its mirror, and you steward its seed, and every single day of your life, if you try this week and you only get 3 times out of 7, congratulations, you're a success. Because you didn't do any last week. But if you get in Scripture every single day of your life, why? Because it's food and strength for you. And too many of you are trying to be Christians without the Scriptures. If you do that, your prayers that go unanswered will go on a fast. And you'll see your prayers answered like never before. Why? Because he says to us, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. That's good preaching. I wish somebody told me this when I was 14. A fifth benefit. It helps you to overcome sin. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and living in righteousness. These are the actual Greek words. Take a look at them. I'm not going to write on the board. I'm going to tell you what they mean. Look at the first one. It says that the Bible is profitable for doctrine. It means teaching the ignorant dogmatic truths. That the Bible is able to educate those that are ignorant about the ways of God. Then it says that the Bible has the power for reproof, which means it can correct you. How many of you have ever been convicted by reading the Bible or hearing the Word of God? Can I see hands? This is proof that this Scripture is true. It corrects you. It says that it also has the ability to correct you, which is the second one. And this word here, correct, actually means that something has fallen over and it can stand it back up rightly. So if your life has fallen over, if something in your job has fallen over, if something in your life has fallen over, the Scriptures have the power to help you stand it straight back up. Your marriage, the Bible can, well, I wish I had time to preach today. The Bible can take your marriage and stand it back up. The Bible can take, the Word of God can take your drug addiction and stand it back up. The Bible can take your body with diabetes and stand it back up. The Bible can take your job and make you more successful than anyone's around you and stand you back up. The Bible can take the favor that you've lost and stand it back up. The Bible can take your children that are wayward from God and stand it back up. If you'll put the Word of God in your home and into your children, it shall not return void unto you. You cannot do what I'm talking about and not get a harvest. As I close, Jeremy, come on up, but don't play. It says being instructed. It means like a father looking at a son, training him in righteousness. And as crazy it may sound, when Aiden popped off to his mom, he then had to weed the flower bed. That may seem like hell to Aiden, but to Daddy, it's training in righteousness. Because as soon as I got in bed last night, he had his devotional book reading it. Folks, if you let your kids grow up without you putting the Word of God in you, I don't want to hear you gripe about what you get in return. And the most dangerous thing you could get is two good kids that went to college and got straight A's. And you know I'm not anti-intellectual. But if all you ever do is produce children that get straight A's and stay out of jail, you're a failure as a parent. You need children who are living in righteousness, that love God with a Christian worldview first, then all of these other things will be added unto you. That is your goal. That is our goal. Our goal is not to keep our kids out of jail. Our goal is to keep our kids out of hell. I don't want anyone to go to hell, but I sure don't want three with the last name Knight to make it there. And how do you do that? Well, the Bible says that sin can be taken out of a human being when the Word of God is put in them. You say, how does that happen? Well, let me just give you a simple analogy just real quick. All these people who call themselves agnostic and atheists are hilarious to me because they always trip themselves up in their philosophical underpinnings. Case in point, number one, they will tell you as an atheist that there is no God, which means there is no good, but there is evil in this world. Really, how do you know what evil is if you don't know what good is? How do you know a line is crooked if you don't know what a straight line looks like? So our children need to know what a straight line looks like, ladies and gentlemen. Our grandparents need to know what a straight line looks like. Our parents need to know what a straight line looks like. You need to know what a straight line, and let me tell you what a straight line looks like right here. It's God's words breathed out unto you for your benefit. If you eat it, you live and prosper. If you don't eat it, you'll die of biblical anorexia. It says that it keeps us away from sin. John 15:1-15-3 says, you are already clean because of the word that's in you. But when you read John 16:33, he says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Who in here wants some good joy today? All right. If that's the case, John goes on to say, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. How many would like some peace? All right. Joy and peace are the benefits of reading the scriptures. Peace comes from Jesus' words. The eighth reason is it gives you the ability to make good decisions. Psalms 119 says, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The ninth benefit is that you can study and help explain faith to other people. And that's where the church is so desperately lacking. My goal, and I don't want to scare you, for you is not to feed you fish, but to teach you how to fish so you'll eat the rest of your life. My goal for you is to equip the saints for ministry under the authority of a local ecclesia, a church. My goal for you is to make you into a teacher, whether you realize you're teaching or not. Now, when everybody has a close, I know you're getting ready to go get hot dogs. Some of you are headed to Moonlight now. I'm sorry. I want you to know, how many of you know your pastor loves you? I want to see your hands. I love you so much. I do. I want you to take a Bible and I want you to take one pinky. If you got your cell phone, take your cell phone and your Bible and hold it with one pinky. Not very reliable, is it? Hold it like this. I'm going to tell you how to get a grasp on the Word of God. Number one, pinky. You got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't come and honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy in your family in one local church and get roots, you're never going to grow up in Christ. But none of you are ever going to grow up if you don't hear the Word of God. So you got to hear the word of God. Now take your second finger now, like this. Nope, like that. There we go. Hold it like this. You got to read the word of God. Revelations 1 and 3 says, those that read it are blessed. And right now, I could knock the Bible out of your hand because all you got is hearing and reading. And that's where most of us have been most of our Christian life, trying to get a grip on the word of God by hearing and reading. But now take your middle finger and don't point it at anybody, but just hold the Bible. Acts 17 and 11. Study. And when you begin to study the Bible, it's a little harder for somebody to grasp the word out of your hand. Because you're reading it, or you're hearing it, you're reading it, and now you're studying it. Now take your other finger and put it like this. Now it gets really hard to lose a grip of the Bible. And that is memorizing it. I'll never forget what my friend from Saudi Arabia, who was an underground church planter, told me back in the 90s. He was beaten profusely. They broke his leg. He tells a story of an angel walking into his jail cell in Saudi Arabia as a pastor of the Saudi Arabian church. He was on CNN News in the 80s. His name was Wally. And he said to me, Michael, when I was in the jail cell, my leg was broken. The only thing I had was a piece of scripture that I had torn apart before the police busted through the door. And he said, I said, how did you hide it? He said, I hid it in the butt cavity of my body. And the only Bible I had was the piece of scripture that I hid in my butt cavity. That's not being vulgar. It's nothing to laugh at. It's the only word of God he had. He said, but the word that I memorized. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go to jail for your faith. I'm not saying it's impossible in America today, because it isn't impossible. But I am telling you, how much word would you have if someone grasped this book out of your hand? He said, it was the word that I remembered that got me through the worst time of my life, not the word that I could go and read. So you got hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and then put your hand on the back, your thumb. It gives you the best grip. Meditating. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Meditation is the Greek word for rotation. It means I rotate the word of God over and over in my heart. Your plans for me are good, to prosper me and to give me a good life. I am not guided by a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Study and show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and it was Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. If you'll do those five things, the enemy will never be able to grip the Bible out of your hand. But if you only listen and you only read, he'll steal it from you. But if you listen, you read, and you study, then you meditate and memorize, he can't steal it from you anymore. How many of you gotten anything out of this today? Would you please stand and let me bless you? Every man, would you lift your hand, please? I bless you with the blessings as a shepherd and the priest of this house and 1,300 people and family members. I bless you today with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. But every lady, please lift your hands. I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Now everyone lift your hands and keep them up. I bless you. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you this week. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you the peace of shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Love on somebody before you go. God bless you. Have a great week.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.